Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA-compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hey friends, it's Melvin. I hope that you're doing well. So we're actually on break from the Selling the Couch podcast, but I hope that you enjoyed this podcast conversation from our archives. In the meantime, if you are thinking about creating an online course, I know that many of us may be thinking about that right now in the midst of the pandemic and in a post-pandemic world, whether it's just to diversify our income beyond therapy work, or just to feel like we have a bigger message to share and we want to be able to share that in a different way beyond just our geographic area. If all of that sounds awesome and you've been thinking about creating an online course, I just wanted to invite you to download the free A to Z online course guide. I launched my first online course back in 2015 to a $297 first sale. And through a lot of just hard work and a lot of trust in colleagues to purchase the course, we've now had over 275 of our colleagues purchase the Healthcasters podcasting course. And I've learned a ton about what it takes to launch, grow, and scale a podcasting course and a course in general. And that guide just has a lot of helpful information to help you get started. We're also launching something called Online Course School. This is a live cohort experience. So meaning that this isn't like a digital course on courses, although eventually it will have that. But this is more of a live experience where we therapists can gather over the course of 6 to 8 weeks. And what I will do is I will teach you everything that I know about how to launch and grow a successful online course. We'll start with your idea and how to validate your online course. We'll then work through what your lessons and modules and all of those different things will look like. We'll actually take time and actually do exercises to get those down. We'll come up with your course title and your subtitle in a way that your students are excited to want to purchase that course. And then we'll talk about actually how to record and market your course as well. And you'll be joined with others in community, and you'll have an accountability buddy and a bunch of really awesome stuff. And if any of that sounds awesome, I encourage you to download again the online course guide over at sellingthecouch.com/online course guide. So we'll get right to today's session. Have a great rest of your day. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 218 of Selling the Couch. Hope you're having a wonderful day. So today's podcast topic, I called it How to Calculate Your Fees to Ensure a Profit While Considering Our Lifestyle and Our Business Expenses. Really long title, but the reason I wanted to have today's guest, who is Raina Lombardi. Raina is based down in Florida. She is an art therapist, and she's also, her blog is over at creativeclinicianscorner.com. And I wanted to have Raina on the podcast to talk about how to calculate our fees, because Raina has really been through the fire and experienced what it's like to be in debt and to to build a business and to figure out how to set fees and all of those different challenges that come with being a private practice owner. I know that setting fees is something that many of us struggle with. I know it's something that I constantly still struggle with every product and service that I launch. And so I hope that today's podcast conversation just gives you a different way of looking at fees, one that uses data, but not in a nerdy way, some actual objective data in order to figure out where your numbers should lie. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. To today's podcast conversation, I just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Therapy Notes for supporting last year's podcast and for being supporters of this year's podcast as well. Therapy Notes is an electronic health record, and they're actually the ones that I'm using for my own private practice. And one of the really cool things that I've been utilizing on my private practice website, you can check it out. This is a plug for my private practice website, but you can just check out to see how it operates over at melvinverghese.com. But you can actually set up a client portal so that potential clients that are interested, they can actually, so basically what I ended up doing is I set aside times that I'm available for consults. And then I set up the client portal so that new clients come in and they can schedule on one of those times. So everything is kind of automated. That way, it's both helpful to the client and then also helpful for me as well. So we're not going back and forth. You can learn more about Therapy Notes and the services that they provide over at sellingthecouch.com/therapy-notes. We'll get right to today's conversation. So here's my conversation with Lorena Lombardi from creativeclinicianscorner.com. Hey, Reina, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hi, Melvin. Thanks for having me.
I'm so grateful that you reached out. I'm excited for this conversation because I feel like every time we have a conversation on fees on the podcast, one, it just helps a lot of clinicians. And more than that, I feel like fees are something that I still struggle with. Money is something that, you know, most of us still struggle with. And so I'm really looking forward to learning how you calculate your fees while considering, you know, like life and business expenses and all of those different things.
Yeah, it is definitely a challenging topic, and it's hard to talk about for a lot of people, but it's really essential when we're developing our own practice, because it is a business and it has to take care of the business expenses, which there are a lot of, or can be a lot of. And then it also has to be able to take care of you as an individual and your family. And so it's just a really important topic.
I feel like I'm getting a little better with it, but I mean, truth be told, I still run into this issue every time. So every time I create a product for Selling the Couch, I'm like, oh, what should my fees be? Oh, you know, like, oh, this feels like maybe it's too high, or this feels like it's too low. And even like recently, I revamped my private practice website because I, you know, just wanted to like focus in and hone in a little bit more niche. And I'm out of network, I'm private pay, and my fees are a bit higher than other clinicians, especially in the area. And I really struggled with that. And one of the things that was helpful for me is just to like take a step back and look at the numbers. And I feel like it was liberating in one way, but it was like scary on the other. But I really am looking forward to some of these like tips that you could share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard for me too, even though I really try to stick with my protocol and utilize all the numbers to make my decisions and not make my decisions from a place of emotion or feeling.
When we were talking about this before we recorded this episode, one of the things I was just thinking about is let's like really dive deep. And why don't we just like, you know, I know that, you know, you thought through some of this stuff, and And we just thought, you know, why not just share like five practical tips that we can all take away in terms of calculating your fees? So what would you say is like the number one tip that we should consider when calculating our fees to ensure a profit?
Yeah. So the first thing I think that we have to do is really get clear and understand what our personal expenses are and the amount of money that we need to make in order to take care of ourselves and our family, but not just what are our expenses today, because I think a lot of people coming into practice have been working in a nonprofit sector or working at an agency, and it doesn't seem to matter where we are in the country. The amount of money that people are paid in those positions is typically very low. And so people might be carrying a lot of debt in order to be able to survive. And so I think it's important that you get real clear about what your personal expenses are, what you need to do to reduce the amount of debt that you're carrying, which will decrease the amount of stress that you have over how much money you need to make in the practice. Also look at what's the life that you really want to live. For a lot of people, when we're working in a corporate structure, we might only get 10 days off a year, 10 paid days off a year, or we have to be vested for many years within a company before we can get 15 days off a year. But that might not be enough in private practice. As you're doing the technical work of providing the therapy and holding space for the clinical portion of things, you're also now taking on a new hat and the new role of being an administrator. And that then takes on an additional workload. And so you're probably going to need more time off, or perhaps you really want more time off. And I don't think it's a bad thing to want more time off.
I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like many of us have guilt, right? Especially as small business owners, about taking time off. And I don't know, I think I've been recently, like, that's been weighing a lot on me. And I think one of the things that I learned is like what you just said, is sometimes all small business owners need that extra time off, because there's just certain things that you can't account for when you're working like a, you know, 9-to-5 job, right? That you have to do outside of the small business.
Yeah.
Two, it's like, for me, time off has been so valuable because it gives me a time to recharge. Like, I used to think running a small business meant running what I call like a marathon sprint. So you're basically running a marathon, but you're sprinting through the entire
right
thing. And what I've kind of try to do is now is I see it more as like short sprints with periods of rest.
I love that. I love that. It's true that downtime is really essential, because you end up having so many different responsibilities that you have to change gears all the time. And so it can be pretty taxing on your brain. At least I'll speak for me. It's pretty taxing on my brain to manage all of these different responsibilities that I have as a practice owner. And I find that one of the things that I value most is the ability to carve out chunks of time every so often throughout the year to have the downtime to, you know, decompress and let go and not focus on the work. Because being in small business, it can totally consume your life if you allow it to. And I think a lot of people do, and then they experience burnout. And that's not healthy for you and not healthy for me. And it's not healthy for the people that we're serving, because if we're burned out, then we don't have the ability to really be present in the room with them. And that's our job. And that's what we set out to do. I think a lot of us leave the agency work so that we can hold space for people in the way that we want to hold space. And usually it's to try and escape that overwhelm and that productivity monster. And so we want to make sure that when we're creating our fee structure, that fee structure is going to be able to support that. It's going to be able to support us taking time off on a regular, consistent basis. And it's going to be able to allow for emergencies when we don't expect it. I have survived a hurricane, which basically shut my business down for a month, solid month. It was unexpected in 2017. And then, of course, after the hurricane came, my office had experienced some significant damage. And so that impacted my ability to practice. But moreover, my clients were impacted by this storm too, this natural disaster. And a lot of them, it affected their ability to work, which then impacted their ability to pay for services. And because I budget so much time off, the practice was able to carry that loss without it really impacting my bottom line.
That's awesome. And I mean, like, you know, obviously not the hurricane part, but the fact that you actually like anticipated and, you know, that you actually accounted that through that by setting time off. You said something earlier that I wanted to actually like circle back to. You said one of the first things that in terms of setting your fees to ensure a profit is you have to look at your lifestyle and more specifically your personal expenses. What would you say is like a common personal expense that usually gets people more into debt or that gets people more into debt, but that can be like remedied in some way? Like,
oh yeah. Well, I will say this. Before I started going into practice, my husband and I had carried a significant amount of credit card debt. And we ended up putting ourselves in a debt management program, which allowed us to condense all of the different credit cards into one, and then, or not into one credit card, but through the debt management, we made one payment to them and then they dispersed it to the different cards to pay them off without affecting our credit score in any way. They also renegotiated rates for the credit cards to reduce them. And so we paid off, it was a little over $20,000 in credit card debt as I was first starting out in private practice. And I was working for another group and I was just working there part-time and I still had my full-time job. And so I made the commitment to pay down all of that debt. And then once that debt was paid down, then I started the process of saving. But I also made the commitment not to use any credit cards after that time, and then not to take out any loans or anything to start the practice either. But just the simple act of eliminating that credit card debt can make a huge emotional difference, I think, because that just feels like a heavy weight on somebody's shoulders carrying that around. So if people can do that, I think that can be a really helpful thing for them. And then that's one less monthly expense that you have to worry about.
Absolutely. So the first tip is get clear and understand what personal expenses are, and then it's more specifically in the debt that you're carrying. What would you say is like a second tip that you could share with us?
Yeah. So the second tip is within that personal expenses, make sure to account and budget for the way you want to be spending time off. So if there are particular things that you want to be able to do in order to take care of yourself, nurture yourself, and reward yourself for the hard work that you're doing. Say like different types of vacations, for example. You want to make sure that you're budgeting for those in your personal expenses and then figuring out, okay, vacation A, I'm going to have, you know, this amount of money set aside for that trip. Vacation B is going to be a larger trip, so I'm going to set aside this amount of money. Vacation C might be even more. It just depends upon what it is that you do. And if you're, you know, taking a vacation by yourself, or if you're taking a vacation for your whole family, how that's going to work. But you want to make sure that you're budgeting for that and your personal expenses in advance, so that you know when you do take the time off that you're going to be able to go away and get away. And I hear from other business owners, and I know for myself, if I stay home during time off, I'm probably going to be doing some type of work, whether that's work around the house, projects around the house, or maybe administrative tasks that I typically struggle to get done during the typical work week. But if I leave and go somewhere, that's when I really can slow down and get the benefit of relaxing and just turning everything off and checking out. And so I think that is really important to do.
Yeah, that's such a good piece of advice. So the second one again is, in terms of like your personal time off, like how do you, personal expenses and personal time off, like how do you want to spend it? So how do you want to spend that time off? So we should budget for that, as opposed to being like, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to go to Europe and you know, like 1 week before, right? Which is, and I think the thing you're also saying is like, as you're doing this, you're becoming more clear on your numbers, right? So yes. One, you're not carrying debt to do any of this stuff, but then you're also setting realistic expectations in terms of like what you can do with your time off.
Absolutely. And I know from listening to your show that you're a fan of Profit First, and I'm a fan of Profit First, and I love the idea of having multiple bank accounts to be able to isolate funds for different things and put it there from the beginning and not touch it, so that you create that budget for your vacation and you know how much out of every salary disbursement that you give yourself you're going to put into that particular account, so that when it comes time to take your vacation, you have it's paid and you have enough spending money for you to really not worry and enjoy yourself.
That's awesome. What would you say is like a third piece of advice that you could share with us in terms of calculating our fees to ensure that we're actually making a profit?
The third piece of advice is, if you haven't started a practice yet, then you want to really talk to somebody about what their expenses are, so that you can get an estimate. So when I say talk to somebody in your locale who might, you know, you get an idea of what they're paying in terms of rent for a space, how much they're spending on, you know, internet, if they're using internet at their office, any kind of technology and things like that, so that you can put a really strong estimate of your practice expenses together. If you're already in practice, then you want to be tracking that data every month, but you also want to be tracking it, you know, throughout the year, so that you can break down your annual or biannual expenses, things that you don't pay out monthly, and you can break them down into your monthly expenses by dividing it up, so that you have a general estimate of what it costs to operate your practice monthly based on all of the expenses for the entire year.
Yeah. And I like the fact, like you said, reach out to somebody in your local area. That way you're accounting for like local real estate prices, local cost of goods, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, I'm in Florida, and what it costs me to operate in Florida is going to be totally different than where you're at in Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. I do miss the South.
It's warm here.
Yes. And I think slightly less expensive, although I went back to Texas recently. I was like, man, these real estate prices are pretty comparable to Philly now.
Yeah, the cost of living has really risen in the South, especially where I'm at in Florida. The cost of living is substantial on the coast. We're close to the water and the beaches. And so, you know, you kind of have to pay for that luxury.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think it just speaks to like, we can all envision and have that, you know, live where we want to and have our offices. But at the same time, it's good to have the wisdom to figure out like what's realistically the expenses that are going to come. And I love that tip about just reaching out to like local clinicians. What would you say is the fourth tip?
So then the fourth tip is to create an itemized list of all the different services that you're going to be able to offer within your practice or that you are offering in your practice. And it could be also products if you're providing and selling certain products and you want to utilize that into your tabulation. But once you have an idea of what you're doing weekly, what you're doing monthly, what you might be doing quarterly or annually, then you can look at how to organize what you're charging for each one of those things and to make sure that it matches up with your personal monthly expenses plus your professional or practice monthly expenses.
So what you're, so I guess I had a random question. So I guess when you're saying that, this would assume that this is a clinician that's listening and they have existing products and or services, right?
Sure.
What about if it's somebody that's like starting out and they, you know, they know, for example, okay, I want to do some one-on-one work and then maybe they want to do some paid speaking, but they actually haven't, you know, don't have the money coming in for that. So how do you account for it in that case?
So that's an excellent question. And I used this to determine what I was going to charge when I first went out on my own. And then I figured out how much of what I was going to need to do in order to meet the expenses. And so what I have like a tabulation process and a spreadsheet that we can share with listeners if they're interested. And it breaks it all down. And what you would do is you would list what you want to do. So maybe you want to do 10 individual sessions a week and you want to do one monthly training or speaking engagement a month. And you want to do a weekly group with 6 participants at the max, then you can put it all in this itemized list and then you can play around with the fees. So it's kind of like a plug and play. You go, okay, this is what I think I should be charging. And then you can put it in there and you can calculate it. And then you can really see that, oh no, that doesn't actually live up to the amount of what I need to bring home for my salary and with my practice expenses. So I need to adjust something's fees. If I don't adjust that fee, then I need to look at adjusting another fee or adding a different service or even better, evaluating how you can reduce your monthly expenses. I always think that it's easier to reduce your expenses and you have more control over that than you do with increasing the amount of services that you're going to provide or raising the fees. Especially starting out, it might be difficult for people to feel like they can charge a certain fee, or you might be in a community that can't support that level of fee. And so then it requires you to be a little creative in how you're managing the expenses for operating your business.
That's cool. So the fourth tip is create an itemized list of service and products. And then what would you say is the final tip that you would share with us?
Yep. The final tip is when you're calculating the bottom line number for what you need, we're going to multiply a percentage of the profit that you want your business to make. So oftentimes, we don't think about our business being profitable we think that it's profitable when it pays all of our bills, but then we kind of zero out the balance and we don't have anything left over. But that doesn't allow for growth, doesn't allow for us to continue to expand. And in order for us to expand, we need to be able to save, we need to have profitability. And if people want to build a practice and then be able to sell it later on, say before they retire, which a lot of people do, then we need to have that the financial data demonstrating that this business is profitable. And that helps increase the amount that you can charge to sell your business. So when we're calculating what we need to earn, your total minimum needed income to be earned by the practice, we want to multiply a percentage for profit based on like what our personal expenses are and what our practice monthly expenses are. So we total that. And then we're going to multiply it by how much of a profit do we want to make here. And so you might start off with saying, well, I only want to make 1% profit because I'm kind of starting out, and then slowly increase it over time to the number that you would like to be creating for profit. And then with the profit, you can put that into a separate account and watch it grow and build, and then you're able to deal with it how you'd like to deal with it. But at least if you're calculating it in from the beginning, you're making a conscientious effort to ensure that that's going to happen. And it's not just, well, if it happens.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like I'll account for that next year or next quarter, and then it actually never happens.
Right. Or we'll see what happens, like how the numbers go if I actually make a profit. Well, that seems like gambling to me.
Right. And let me just make sure I understood. So profit is something, it's almost like it's the money that you're making in your business, but it's like the extra money that you're almost like rewarding yourself for being an owner of a business. It's different than the money that you're paying, the salary that you're paying yourself.
Correct. It's the earnings that come in on top of your salary and on top of the business expenses that your business is paying for. And yeah.
Is 1%, like, is that a good like general starting point, or like what would you recommend?
I think 1% is an easy number to start with. It's easier than say 5%. Or 10%. And I think, you know, in looking in the Profit First materials, I think he recommends, you know, starting off small and then building up. And he had certain percentage points allocated to different types of businesses based on their earning potential, right? Like, what percentage a small business that maybe is only making up to $250,000 would make, and then what a larger profit share would be for, you know, $1 million business would be making. And like, obviously, the more money that the business is making, the higher the potential for profit. But if you're deliberately calculating how much you would like to make for profit, you have more control over that too.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Raina, this is just such good information. And then you had mentioned in the interview that you actually had this pretty awesome fee calculator, which I'll definitely put in the show notes. But I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about that calculator.
Sure. So several years ago, I was invited to speak at a conference with like a panel, and it was all about different therapists in private practice at different times of their practice. So I had just gone out on my own. And so part of what I presented on was how to do this. How do you calculate your fees? And so that was in its early stages. And I've since kind of revised it. And so it's a spreadsheet that lists some basic personal expenses that you're going to want to consider. And it gives an example with everything filled out, and then it gives you a blank. So the example would be like, you know, all the things you need to consider for your personal expenses, but it's not exhaustive, and there's room for you to add more in there based on what your life is. And so with the personal expenses, you're going to want to determine what your contribution is. If you're in, you know, a family household where you're sharing the responsibilities of the expenses, then you would put, you know, what you need to be contributing. And then there's another spreadsheet that calculates your practice expenses. It has stuff about the office, cleaning, technology, different supplies, other miscellaneous things you might need to use, like an attorney, or all of the different business taxes that you have to pay when you operate a business, stuff for your CPA, insurance, marketing, and then even if you're going to contract help and use assistance for administrative stuff, which I think most people should do at a certain point because it becomes too much once you're really full to handle it all yourself. And then the other part of it is, then it gives the itemized breakdown of how to determine what your weekly service type is, the amount that is, how many clients you see a week at that fee price. And then it gives like a total, and there's a whole calculation that it's like a little calculator, and you just plug in the numbers based on what you have in the spreadsheet. And then it helps you to determine, you know, how much you need to make each week based off of how many weeks you're going to work within the year and how much profit you want to make.
It's awesome. I mean, I love how like comprehensive it is. And I'll link to this in the show notes for you guys, but you can find that fee calculator over at creativeclinicianscorner.com/fee and then a dash calculator. Raina, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful just when you were speaking, I was just thinking like for you doing this is not just like, you know, I like this stuff and, you know, which I know you do, but it's like you've been through the fire, you know, you've struggled with this and you've figured it out. And I'm just so grateful for your willingness to share that knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm excited to share and really want therapists to be able to be successful and not have to close up shop because it's financially unattainable. But I think it is financially attainable when we are mindful and deliberate about how we handle the business portion of things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Raina, where can we learn more about you and the good work that you're doing in the world?
So you can learn more about me at my practice page, which is floridaarttherapyservices.com, or at my other business, creativeclinicianscorner.com, which is a resource for creative therapists wanting to build a practice.
Perfect. Raina, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me, Melvin. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Hey there. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Raina, and especially if you are trying to figure out how to set your fees and like me, if you have like a very overwhelming feeling every time you think about fees, I hope that today's podcast conversation has just given you just a different way of approaching things and given you a bit of encouragement in terms of how to actually set fees, not just for your business, but also while considering the life that you want to live, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Raina mentioned that a fee calculator, which again, you can find over at creativeclinicianscorner.com/fee and then dash calculator. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new
workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop.
Have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
Hey there, hope you enjoyed this replay episode. And again, just wanted to invite you to download the free online course guide if you are thinking about launching an online course and just want some things that have been helpful for me and some of the tough lessons that I learned along the way. You can again download that over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-guide. And as I mentioned right at the beginning, we're actually starting a live cohort called Online Course School. This is a great opportunity to join with other therapists to validate and launch and record your online course. The best way to find out about this and to keep updated when the cohort launches is to download, again, the Online Course Guide over at Selling.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop.